This is Digital Story Podcast number 651, September 4th, 2018. Today's theme is Photography and Philanthropy, the Story of Home Alone. I'm Derek Story. Social networks have seen their share of user abuse over the last few years, but like so many things in life, the headlines often focus on the bad instead of the good. And as storytellers, we have an incredible opportunity to balance this narrative and, yes, even help others by applying our skills online. Today, I share one such story that involves a sentimental photographer and an abandoned cat. I hope you enjoy the show. So I'm going to tell you this story, and this story really, for me, crystallize a lot of things that I think and a lot of opportunities that we have as storytellers, especially with this incredible online platform that we have access to these days. So I'll tell you the story first, and then I have some tips for how to be effective with this type of storytelling. The reason why I'm telling you this is because I just went through this experience myself. And here's the way it came down. So one morning I was getting ready to go to work, and I was outside loading up the car, and I heard this meowing from next door. And I was looking over there, and this is a house that had been rented, and I knew that the people had been in the process of moving out. It seemed to take them a while, but they were finally gone, and they had been gone for a couple days, in fact. And I heard this meowing over there, and I'm going, okay, what is going on? So I walk halfway over to the house on the sidewalk, and I see this cute little tuxedo kitty cat. Now, I knew this cat in terms of I had seen her hanging out there. She had been an indoor cat, outdoor cat, bouncing around, and she lived there. That was her home, and her family just moved away from her. They left the cat, they left furniture, they left an abandoned truck. They just took what they wanted and left what they didn't, and she happened to be in the latter category. And so right away, you can imagine what I was thinking. I was thinking, who can do this? Who would do this to this animal, especially this sweet animal? This is not like some ugly creature that had a bad personality. She was sweet. She was light on her paws. She was just adorable. I mean, really, just a cutie. So I went and got some cat food because I have cats already. I have a feral cat in the backyard, have a fire rescue kitty inside the house, and of course, I have Dibs over at the studio. So I went and got her some cat food. I got some fresh water. And on the front porch, they had left bowls. So I don't know what they were thinking was going to go on with the bowls, but they left bowls. So I cleaned out the bowls, and I gave her some food, and I gave her some water, and I just hung out with her for a little bit and talked to her. And she was hungry, and she ate, and then, you know, she'd rub up against me a little bit and eat some more. And I was thinking, okay, this is something that I'm going to have to do something about. So I started this ritual every morning where I would go over there. I'd take my phone with me, and I would read my email, and I would sit with her. So I'd feed her. I'd give her fresh water. I'd let her sit on my lap. She'd jump up on my lap and purr, and then she'd go and have some more food, and then she'd come back onto my lap. And, you know, I would just read my email and do my thing while she was doing that. And it did take about 20 minutes out of every morning, but I tried to be as efficient as possible, and I just couldn't do it any other way. Now, here we are. We were getting near the end of August, and I knew that it's going to start getting cold pretty soon, and I knew she just couldn't go on living like this. Sooner or later, someone new was going to move into that house. Who knows how they would feel about the situation, but the odds were good that they wouldn't care about the cat, and the cat could end up, you know, at the Humane Society, or something else could happen to it that would be out of my control. And I just wasn't ready to have that happen. I started thinking about, okay, what can I do? What can I do? And I asked for guidance on this, and I thought about it, and I said, okay, there are shelters I could take her to, and shelters are great. I just love the work that shelters do, but in this case, I was thinking, okay, you know, there'd be the transition to the shelter, and then she'd have to live at the shelter. Then we hope that she gets adopted, then she'd have the transition to her new home if she were lucky enough to get adopted. And I was thinking, I would rather just place her in a new home. How can I do that? What is the best way to do that? So I asked around, of course, and talked to people, and people gave me some ideas. A lot of times they just gave me ideas for other shelters that I didn't know about, which I was grateful for, but it wasn't getting the job done. And I kept thinking about it and asking for help. And one morning I was sitting there as I was doing my work for Skylum on Facebook, and I was thinking, why not Facebook? Why not Twitter? Why not try that? I mean, what can it hurt? So that morning, when I went over to visit her, I got some pictures of her. I took some shots of her, you know, kind of bouncing around and playing. And the light was really low, and the picture was with my iPhone. And it's not the most perfect picture in the world, but I got a shot of her playing with this wheelbarrow that they had in the front garden there. And it was a pretty cute shot. And I was going, okay, I've got the shot. Now I just need to write the post. So I wrote a nice, clean post that tried to capture what had happened. I didn't want to get too schmaltzy about it. I just wanted to say, here's what happened, and here's what I want to happen, and here she is, and I can vouch for her. She's a great animal. And I put that on my personal Facebook page. So those of you that follow me on Facebook, not the Digital Story Facebook page, which is our photography community, but my personal page, you saw this post, I'm sure. And this post really resonated with a lot of people. So there were more than 150 likes. There were more than 380 shares. And there were like 80 some odd comments. And people were talking about, you know, how could someone do this? Or giving me ideas for homes for her. And then a few people stepped up and said, I'm interested in taking her. And when I started seeing those, I started having some hope. And so then there was this conversation that went on among us. And so one person kind of rose to the top. Her name was Dawn. And she lived not too far away, so we wouldn't have to transport her very far. And she could come over for a morning feeding. And that happened this morning. Okay, that was, you know, this morning. I'm recording this on Monday. And that happened this morning. So we arranged the time. I told her what time I usually go over there. And so I went over my normal time, about 7 in the morning. And I was sitting there with Home Alone. And she was wondering why I wasn't giving her food right away. And I didn't want to, because I wanted to make sure that she stuck around in time for Dawn to get there. So she was sitting on my lap and purring and I mean, she was like making my heart melt. I'm telling you, she was really pulling at my heartstrings here. And Dawn showed up right at 7, and she had her daughter with her, which I thought was really cool. They came up, and I could tell right away that they understood animals just by the way they approached the situation. So I had the daughter, you know, put the food in the bowl so Kitty could see this friendly person. And she ate some, and then, you know, she sat on my lap for a bit and kind of bounced around. And they just hung around, and we just talked a little bit, and they liked her. I could tell that they liked her. And Dawn had a kitty carrier with her. So she got it out, and she grabbed the kitty, which I thought was, you know, I thought, all right, go for it. That was great, because I was thinking that I was going to have to put her in the kitty carrier. She grabbed a kitty. We opened the door. We got her in there. She did get one scratch on her forearm, Dawn did, from the back leg as the kitty was fighting going in, as they will do, right? But once we got the kitty in there, she seemed pretty okay. I mean, she didn't want to stay in there, but she wasn't going crazy. She meowed a little bit. And, you know, we talked for a minute. We talked a little bit about, you know, moving forward and all that. I took their picture so that I could put that on the Facebook page. And I waved goodbye. And Home Alone found a home. she found a home. And as I started thinking about it afterwards, I was going, this really happened. And about an hour later, Dawn sent me some pictures. We had talked about the transition plan, where you have to keep the cat inside for a couple weeks, you know, so they don't run away. They were planning on having her be an indoor-outdoor cat, which I think is great. You know, she will do great that way. But you have to keep them inside for a couple weeks first, and then, you know, you can let them out so they won't run away. So she had a setup all ready for her, and she sent me pictures of Kitty in her new setup, and it was this really kind of nice little kitty cage. And she had her bed from inside the kitty carrier, and she had her food and her water, and there were shots of her, you know, kind of rolling around, and I don't know, they were just adorable shots. And Don said that she was purring and had already seemed, you know, very happy. And I was thinking, she needed this. She really needed it. She really wanted a home. You know, there are some animals that want homes. There are some that don't. She wanted a home. And, you know, these people were the perfect fit for her. So from beginning to end on this, you know, in terms of when I had the idea to post it on Facebook, to the time that she actually found a home was 4 days. 4 days from beginning to end. And I still have another 4 or 5 people in this Facebook group that are interested in adopting cats. And there's another cat that surfaced during the conversation that needs a home. And hopefully we can get her place too. And same thing happened to her. She was abandoned. So since this happened this morning, I've had some time to think about this before I wrote the podcast. And there's a couple things that I want to share with you. One is I have 5 tips for, you know, writing a post, a story to help another creature, another person, another cause, whatever it happens to be. And I'm going to cover those in a moment. But before I do that, I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, the power that we have as storytellers. And I was thinking that these online platforms that have been abused so much lately are still incredibly powerful for good. And, you know, one interesting side note on this. So I posted on Twitter and I posted on the Facebook page. So on the Twitter, virtually nothing happened. Nothing happened on the Twitter page at all. And on Twitter, I have many more followers than I do on Facebook. No one responded. There was no traction at all. On Facebook, which in this case felt a lot more community in terms of not only in terms of location. I mean, there are a lot of people on Facebook that live in Sonoma County that follow me, but there's a whole lot of people that don't. But regardless of where they live, there was a much more community feel. There's a lot more brainstorming. There's a lot more interest and traction and discussion, 100 times more than there was on Twitter. So I thought that was fascinating. And then the other thing that happened on Facebook that's so incredible is the viral aspect. Because even though there were people that weren't my direct friends on Facebook, my friends would share this post with them, and they were able to share the post so they got out to more people locally than it would have otherwise. So I think that aspect of it is really cool. And it just really heartened me to know that our skills as storytellers can really, you know, make a difference beyond just our personal art. You know, we talk a lot about our personal art, which is very important, because it's, you know, the pursuit of being a good artist that helps us refine these skills, right? But at the same time, you know, these skills can be used in many different ways. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about tips for posting a piece to help another. And I have 5 of them, as you can imagine. So the first one is leverage your existing platform. Because people who follow you will listen to your story. And I think this is incredibly important, because if you just post it out there in the wild, outside of your platform, just kind of in the wild, then yeah, some people will be interested. But if you post to your platform, and if you use the platform that you've developed over the years and nurtured, then these people are receptive to the stories that you have to tell. And they will actually give it a look. So use the platform that you have. I mean, that is the starting point. And then let the people that are part of your platform, take it to a wider audience. They'll do that for you. Next, capture a good image. The picture is so important on these sort of things. And it's really interesting. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, technical perfection. This image that I posted was, I mean, it was just barely becoming light. It was super low light. She was kind of moving around a bit. She did this one thing that was really cute where she put both paws up on this wheelbarrow handle, this wooden wheelbarrow handle. And then her little paws looked like rabbit feet, you know, that, you know, so she was up with her paws up and her face was moving a little bit. And it isn't a perfect shot. In fact, there's a little bit of motion blur on her face so that you don't have great detail. But when you looked at the shot, it felt good. It felt like it was telling a story. It was interesting and it attracted people to it. And this is such a good case of that even though the shot wasn't technically perfect, it so got the job done. Don't rule things out just because they aren't absolutely technically perfect. The picture is important because it will garner the viewer's attention and it helps you tell the story. Number three, keep your post pithy and on target. Don't ramble on. You don't need to tell the whole story. They don't need to hear all the details. They don't need to hear the entire backstory. People don't need that. What they need are, just like we used to do when we wrote headlines in for newspapers, is, you know, you want the five W's. You want the who, what, when, where, and why. You know, get that right up there. People can make their own decisions, right? They can figure things out. You know, generally speaking, people are pretty smart. So if you keep your post pithy and on target and don't ramble on, they'll get the idea and they'll take a look at it. If they click on this thing and it's, you know, all these words, they won't read it because it's too much. They don't have time. They don't have the bandwidth to do this. So keep your post pithy and on target. Do not ramble on. And at the same time, while we're talking about things that you don't want to do, is that you don't want to be too emotional. So regardless of how you feel, and believe me, this is something that I have to deal with all the time because I'm a sentimental person. Regardless of how you feel, do not intentionally pull at the heartstrings of others. Let them come to their own conclusions. You know, put the story out there and then they will decide how they feel about it. I honestly believe that people do not like being told how to feel. That is not our role as storytellers. Our role as storytellers is to tell the story best we can with as much information and detail and heart as we can, but not to intentionally pull at the heartstrings of others while doing so. This is something that I think is abused in advertising and in marketing. Let people decide how they feel about stuff. You give them the information to do that. And then finally, number five, follow up and provide closure. And we talk about this in all sorts of different aspects of our photography. If we're doing street photography and the person asks for the shot, follow up and send them the shot. You know how that goes. You've heard the story from me many times. You have to do this here too, because what you have done is that you have engaged people in this story. And you have to tell them how it ends. Whether it's a good ending or a bad ending, they need to know. They deserve to know because they have honored your story by participating, by either liking it or commenting or sharing it with others. So you have to honor them by telling them how it turns out. And you have to do that as soon as you can. So for example, before Dawn and her daughter drove off this morning with HomeAway in her crate, I asked if I could take a picture. And they said yes. So I got a nice picture of both of them. I made sure that the license plate wasn't showing in the shot or anything like that. But I wanted people to see who adopted this kitty and, you know, what, you know, the outcome was of the story. And so then I posted that this morning. And then all those people that had invested in the story then got to see the conclusion and got to comment and in this case celebrate, you know, with the happy ending. And then Dawn herself chimed in by posting pictures of Home Alone in her new home, you know, looking all cute and purring and everything, so that we could actually see not only the people who had adopted her and who are going to take her in, but we get to see the kitty in the new environment. To me, that is about as good as it gets. Your viewers, your listeners, the people that participate in your stories deserve a conclusion. Make sure you give it to them. This simple story, and this is a very simple story in terms of what's going on in the world and a lot of the things that are happening. But at the same time, I think the story demonstrates so many things. There is a lot of good in people. And sometimes I feel like that good is just looking for a place to express itself. And, you know, instead of, you know, all the rancor that we're seeing online, I think people do respond to stories that genuinely feel good to them, and they want to participate in that. I encourage you to think about this and to look into your community and look into your group and see what you can do to help balance this narrative so that our skills can be used to tell the other side of the story. Not just the bad stuff, but the good stuff as well. The Portfolio Box featured image. This is going to be fun. So over the summer, I've received many notes from Portfolio Box users who are thrilled with the platform for curating their images. As you may recall, Portfolio Box was a sponsor of this podcast for a few months. Late spring, right? So I decided what I wanted to do when Portfolio Box came back to me and said, hey, we want to pick this back up. And I said, that would be great. I thought, wouldn't it be fun to shine a light on some of those best photographs that were in those sites that people in our community had created? So I ran that idea by them, and they said, I love that idea. This is what I want to do. So for each week of the month of September, I'm going to feature an image from a Portfolio Box Pro site that our users have created. Now, I already have a directory of sites from before, and then we're going to add to that. I have some new folks I'm going to add to that directory. And then I'm hoping that during the month of September, more folks will sign up for Portfolio Box Pro, and we'll have their sites, too, to pick from. So I really want to kind of pick up where we left off and get going with this again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick one image each week, and then I'm going to feature that as the banner on our Facebook page, on our Digital Story Facebook page. And if you haven't been there, you have to go there. I mean, we have a lot of folks there. I mean, we have more folks listening to the podcast than are part of our Facebook community. Maybe we want to up that number a little bit too, because it's, you know, facebook.com/thedigitalstory. And of course, I have the link to our Facebook page in the show notes. And of course, the link is in the nav bar on the Digital Story. It's just boom, right there. Facebook page. Can't miss it. So at any rate, what I'm going to do is then each week we're going to have a new photo as our banner on the Facebook page by one of these photographers who have a Portfolio Box Pro site that I picked. And then their name is going to be on the image, and we'll have the URL to their site. And I just think this is going to be so fun, because every week we'll have a new image on top of our Digital Story Facebook page by one of our own. That's what we're going to do. And I'm really excited about this. And then I'll share them on Twitter too. I'll definitely share them on Twitter. So how do you get involved? Well, if you've signed up for a Portfolio Box Pro account and have published at least one page, then send me the link to the site. And you can use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer, thenimblephotographer.com. Just click on contact. Or I have the link to that contact form in the show notes. Give me your name, the link, and the subject of the site that you've just published. And I'll make sure I add it to our Portfolio Box directory. And then it also becomes eligible for me as I go through and as I pick images to feature on our Facebook page. I don't know. I think this is going to be fun. First of all, I'm excited about having your images atop our Digital Story Facebook page. It just feels right to have community members have their shots up there. And the second of all, I really like these folks at Portfolio Box. I love their service. Just as an example, over the summer, I got a note from them. I got a couple notes from them. One is, you know, they're asking me how things are going just as a user. And then the second one is they upgraded my site, my Portfolio Box Pro site, to a secure site. So they went from HTTP to HTTPS. It's more secure, and because it does better in the Google search engine if it's a secure site, and there's all sorts of benefits to that. I didn't ask them to do that. They didn't make a big thing about it. They just said, hey, we've upgraded your site, you know, and we wanted you to know about it. Those of you that are Portfolio Box Pro users, you probably got the same message as well. And that's the kind of thing they're doing. They are not just like, hey, they've signed up, we have their money, that's the end of it. These people really care about this project. They really care about this platform, and the results are great. And just talk to anyone that has one of these sites, and they'll tell you how easy it is to set up and how beautiful it looks. So Portfolio Box Pro, that's the way to go. Now, if you want to test it out first, you can do that for free. We have a tile on all the pages of the digital store. It's in the second column, and you'll see it right there. Just click on that. Go to that page, even if you're just signing up for a free account, because by doing so, if you upgrade to Portfolio Box Pro, you'll get a 20% discount. You get a 20% discount if you go through that link. So make sure you go to our tile first, regardless if you're going free or if you're just going to sign up for the Pro account. Part of the Pro account, you get a domain name. That right there is worth it. This is far less than you spend on a Squarespace site. It's super affordable, and with a 20% discount, it's really affordable. Check it out. I have the link in the show notes, of course, to Portfolio Box, the directory, the contact form, Nimble Photographers, all in the show notes. Or just go to the tile on the digital store. Click on the tile, go over, sign up for either the free or the Pro Portfolio Box. Build something beautiful for yourself. Build something where you can just give that link to people and say, look, this is some of my favorite work. It looks beautiful. It's presented beautifully and is curated by you. We're going to have fun with this. Next week, when I join you on the podcast, we will have the new banner up, the first one from one of our users. Portfolio Box sponsored a digital story for September. I'm so happy to have them back. My best laid plans, my Rocky Nook webinar on photos for Mac OS. This is just going to be a quickie, but I just want to follow up on my webinar that I had last week with Rocky Nook. I believe it was on Wednesday. I was very excited about it. I had prepared for it. I was really ready to go. And as I was doing the webinar, we had hundreds of people online there. I think over 600 at the time I was talking. We're rolling along, and I was about a half an hour into it, and my phone started ringing, and I'm looking at my phone, and I'm going, who's calling me right now? And I saw that it was from San Rafael. Well, San Rafael is where Rocky Nook is. I'm going, uh-oh, oh no. So I was doing the webinar, and so then I just paused the webinar for a second. I just said, hey, folks, it looks like an important phone call. I'll be right back. I picked up the phone, and the person on the other line said, you have been off the air for about 4 minutes. He says, you just dropped off the air. You're gone. I had no idea. I wasn't told by anything, nothing. I had no indicators or anything. I was just teaching away. And the last 4 minutes of it was just to myself. And it was a horrible feeling because I was really rolling. I was really excited about what I was talking about. So I said, okay. Looked around. I did some stuff. I reconnected to the ongoing webinar successfully. And we sort of, had this awkward moment. And, the moderator had been kind of just hanging in there, holding down the fort. So then I start rolling again, and I start teaching again. And after about another 10 minutes of teaching, the thing dropped again. Now, I do online teaching all the time, from my studio. So this was really crazy. And we had done a full test the day before. We had tested everything the day before, and everything worked great. Of course, right? I dropped again. And then this time, not only did I drop, but either when I was struggling to get back on or something, I hit a wrong button, and then the whole webinar just closed. It was just, oh my God, it was disastrous. It was just horrible. basically, I was deflated. I was so excited about what I had to teach, you know, using all these great tools for Photos for Mac OS. You know, I was so well prepared, and then these technical difficulties just shot me down. If you're one of the folks that were part of that webinar, I just wanted to tell you I feel so bad about the technical difficulties. It really bummed me out. And, you know, I didn't get a whole lot of hate mail or anything, so I appreciate appreciate that. I'll give it another whack. I don't know when. Right now, it's too early. It's too soon, but I know I'll give it another whack. But I just wanted to say, you know, sorry to all the folks that were tuned in, and that we really did plan this out. We really did test it. We did everything we're supposed to do, and something just happened that we don't know. Talked about the good side of online life earlier. And then there's the side that just drives you crazy, and I experienced that also. Inner Circle members, New York Fine Art greeting cards. So this is something just for our Inner Circle members. I just got back from New York not too long ago. I talked about it on the show, I believe. And one of the things that I was working on in New York is I wanted to create a set of fine art greeting cards about New York. And so I did a lot of things that would be good for cards. Everything from the Statue of Liberty to shots around Manhattan, you know, all that kind of stuff. And what I want to do is I want to do this project with our Inner Circle members, our Patreon supporters. So here's what's going to happen, Patreon supporters, for September. Here's our bonus. I want to give away 4 sets of these fine art greeting cards just to our Patreon members. And the way that you can throw your hat in the ring is really simple. Each week during the month of September, I'm going to post 2 pictures on our Patreon site, on our digital story site. And these are the 2 finalists for what I'm considering for the card. And then all you have to do is comment which one you like better. So I'm going to have you help me choose the final candidates for this set of fine art cards. By commenting, you also then enter for the opportunity to win one of the 4 sets of cards that I'm going to give away. And I'm going to do a new pairing of pictures each week. So I'll do one later this week, and then the following week, following week, following week. And then at the end of it, I'll print the cards. I'll be working on them, actually, you know, while we're doing this. I'll print the cards, and then I will randomly pick from all the people that commented on our Patreon site, 4 people, and then I'll ship them a set of these fine art greeting cards. They're going to be really nice. Of course, they'll be on Red River paper. And this is going to be a lot of fun because I'm really curious to hear what you think. You know, I'm going to post 2 shots. Now, obviously, one of those shots I'm going to like better than the other, although I'm not going to say. And will you guys pick the shot that I like, or will you pick the other shot? This is always great fun. And I thought it was a great way for us to have a little bit more interaction on our Patreon site and for me to give you kind of a special bonus for the month of September. If you want to participate, you can become a member of our Inner Circle by clicking on the tile that runs on all the pages of the digital story. It says Patreon, become a Patreon member. Or I have a link in the show notes to this piece right here. And then Patreon members, Inner Circle members, participate, right? Do this. I want to hear what you think. Help me pick the best shots for this. And then I will give away 4 sets of these cards. And I want to thank all of our Patreon members, all of our Inner Circle members for supporting this podcast. I just love having this community. I love having people stand behind this show and helping me bring it to life every week. And finally, I want to wrap up with a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They are our longest running sponsor. We're going to be using Red River Paper to print these New York fine art greeting cards. They make so many things that I just love. Obviously, I've been talking a lot about Polar Luster Metallic paper and how I'm in love with it. But at the end of the day, the product that I use most from Red River Paper is their greeting card stock. It's just fabulous. It just works great. I have a wide selection. They're beautiful. I'm making cards every week for one thing or another, for personal, for, you know, thank you, for whatever. And now I'm going to do another set of fine art cards. All of this happens because Red River Paper gives me the tools that I need to create this wonderful art. Not only the cards themselves, but the envelopes and everything that goes with it. Longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Click on that tile, go over to our landing page, see what they have to offer, print something and get it in the hands of other people. Make your art physical. Red River Paper will help you do it. And a big thanks to them for supporting this show. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Boy, what a week, right? A week of ups and downs. Have the high of, you know, really having this Home Alone thing have a happy ending. Have the low of having my webinar hit technical rock bottom and everything in between. Come back and join me next week for another show. Thank you for being here this week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.